The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. Maybe, just maybe, we're finally getting a couple good days. Man, was this week miserable with all the rain and the cold, and I thought this was supposed to be summertime here in the North Shore. Well, I am excited. I have to say my pool is open, so I can sit by the pool. I wouldn't dare go in the pool recently, but this past couple days, it's nice. So we had a wonderful time Friday. We invited all of my son's friends over from the North Andover Scarlet Knights, what they call the S&B Choir, the Honors Choir over at North Andover High School. They had a little party at our place on Friday, so it was nice to have them there, and we just love entertaining people at our place. That's where we bought our house. I know I've talked about our new house several times, but that's really why we bought it, was to entertain folks, and so it's great. But my name is Mark Friedman. I am the host of Dollars and Cents. I'm here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And, throughout the show, I've been doing this almost 8 years now here on the radio station. And one of the things that I constantly ask for is for people to drop questions or drop thoughts or just some thinking of what they might like me to talk about. Because, I'll step here in front of the microphone and I'm wondering, hey, is what I'm talking about even interesting? I'd like to hope that it is. And I apparently, what I found out this past week actually was what I found fascinating was the number of people that actually stream or podcast. I shouldn't say they podcast. I do the podcast, but they follow my podcast on the radio. On the radio, on their phone, on their device, whatever it is. You can find Dollars and Cents, our show, on iTunes. If you go there through iTunes, you can find Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. You can also, of course, if you miss the show any Sunday, you can always go to the North Shore 104.9 website and look up weekend shows, and you can see some of the previous shows that have run, so you can listen to those as well. But I was amazed. I had a couple people come into the office this week, and they were telling me about shows that I've done, and I'm like, I haven't done that show in a long time. They said, I collect all of your podcasts and I listen to them when I go out for my walk with my dog or something like that. I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting. I didn't realize the power of this medium, really reaching out to so many people. But in the past couple of weeks, I've been asking folks, when you sign up for our free weekly newsletter called Planning Pointers that comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. When you're signing up for it, you can also put it in the comments box, some questions that you might have that you may want me to talk about on the radio. And that's what one of the things we're going to do today. I did get a few questions and I thought they were pretty thoughtful, actually, and thought I could offer some perspectives on giving some guidance. The other stuff I wanted to talk about is, of course, what's going on in your portfolio, what's going on with the market. Somebody had asked me, Mark, are you scared about what's going on in the markets? It's running up fast again. Well, it all depends on how you look at this. It really depends. Look, the markets are hovering around 26,000 right now. If you want to talk about the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is that unmanaged index of 50 stocks that trade on the New York Stock Exchange, representing the 30 largest companies of industry. Yeah, the market's around 26. Is the market doing great? Well, according to the Dow Jones Industrial or the S&P 500, it might feel like it's doing well, But if you were an investor in international securities, you might think, oh, this isn't doing so well, Mark. International securities have been a bit of a challenge. The Fed's announced recently that the interest rates are going to drop. Now, who was expecting that to come 2 years ago? And when the interest rates drop, perhaps the stock market even improves. It makes certainly it gives the opportunity for lending. If you want to take out a mortgage, refinance your house, it makes those costs go down. But on the opposite side, if you're one of those investors that's been excited about watching the fact that your interest rate at the bank is starting to go up, because you know I've been talking about that for the past several months, that you can walk into your local regional bank and find that you don't have to get 0.03% on your money anymore. You can get 1.5%, 2%, sometimes even 2.5% on your money. Well, folks, that's likely to go away too. You know, your interest rates are going to drop when interest rates generally in the marketplace go down. And that's because I want you to think about how banks make money. How do banks make money? Well, you might think, well, I know banks make money. They make money on all these silly fees that they charge me, whether it's ATM fees or overdraft fees or wire fees or, you know, checking account fees or a whole list. I mean, they even send you a whole brochure. Here's all of our fees so you can see them all for your viewing enjoyment. Yes, they have all of those fees. And frankly, they represent a significant part of how banks make money. Certainly the smallest of banks, they make a lot of their money on fees. But the other place that banks make money is when they lend money. You see, the way that a bank can make money is by having you deposit money with them so that they can lend it out to someone else. You know, when I deposit my money at the bank, when I have my paycheck deposited at let's say, Bank of America, there is not a draw at Bank of America that says, oh, this is Mark Friedman's draw. We'll just drop his check in there and he can just, and we'll just open up just that draw and pull out some of his money if he needs it. No, that's not how that works. All of the deposits that we make at a bank are the deposits of the bank. The bank then says, oh, we have a certain amount, a percentage of this money that we could lend out to other people. And if we lend it out, we can charge an interest rate with hopes of getting our money back plus interest. Well, that makes sense. I mean, that works out just fine. But if banks are lending, you want an auto loan, you want a mortgage, you want a personal loan, and you want that rate to be around 4%, 5%, 6%. Well, if the banks are paying you money on the money that you deposit and you say, well, I want 2% or 3%, and the banks are lending out money at 4% or 5%, you just have to do the math. Let's say they're giving you 2% on your money. They're lending it out at 5. That's 3%. Is that enough of a spread for the bank to say we're making money? And no, it's not. And that's where the banks have to work really hard to figure out how to manage profitability in their bank. They're going to make money, of course, with their fees, but they'll also make money on the spread between what the interest that they make on what they are, the difference between the interest that they're collecting from lenders or from borrowers, as well as the money that you're depositing. You got to find out what that difference is. And they have to keep that spread reasonable enough to stay profitable. It's a challenge. I mean, banks have a tough job right now with interest rates being as low as they are. Look, when mortgage rates were at 9 and 12 and 15%, that's why they could give you 5 and 7 and 8 and 10% on your CDs, because they had enough of a spread to do that. Right now, we're squeezed and it's tough. Banks are having a tough time dealing with that. And that is what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. I want you to understand how things work. And we've got lots more of that to discuss in the show today. I want to go through an email that I received from a listener who asked me a couple questions, and I'm going to hope to offer some perspectives on that, as well as other things. Lots more to share. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning. That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2019 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, where we provide financial planning and investment management services to individuals and families who live all around the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area. We've been doing this since 1968. Hard to believe that it has been since 1968, but my father started the firm all the way back then. I was two, so I wasn't really involved in the business all that much back then. Dad ran the business, started it. Dad retired in 2007. I took over the full ownership of the business at that time. My business partner, Marion, joined us in the year 2000, and together the two of us managed Friedman Financial in 2019. We have 450 households that surround this area community, and we are a locally based firm, which means you're not going to get any customized, you're not going to get any boilerplate reports. You're going to get customized experiences with us. You're going to come to our office. We're not going to do our business over the phone or over the internet, though we do have, of course, conversations over the phone or the internet. But we certainly plan to meet with you at our office in Peabody. Our focus is primarily on the pre-retiree or the retiree. You could call it the baby boomer segment of the market, or a segment older than that. Many of our clients are in retirement right now. They're currently taking income from their investments to supplement what they're receiving from either Social Security, a pension, an inheritance, a trust fund they might have had, whatever it could be. And our job as financial planners is to help you get a perspective on where everything is and what everything is worth so that you can make smart financial decisions about your money. And one of the stories I wanted to share with you today, and that's what we do here on this radio, is provide financial planning stories that come live out of the playbook that happen at Friedman Financial each and every day. It's a story that ties into a question that I got from a listener. Yeah, we oftentimes have listeners drop us questions. And if you'd like to drop a question, of course, there's no one here in the studio that's answering the phone today. But if you'd like to leave a message on our phone in our office in Peabody, it's 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or if you'd like to sign up for the newsletter or simply just leave a comment that you'd like to type in, go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page and there'll be an opportunity for you to either sign up for our newsletter or drop in some questions. Well, one person had asked the question. They wanted to know how to go about avoiding probate. Everybody asks this question. How do I avoid probate? You hear a lot of these radio spots. You get invited for dinners. You all these things on strategies for avoiding probate. And so what I thought I would do is share with you a little bit about what probate is and how you're already probably avoiding it somewhat already and how you could avoid it even further. So I want you to think about this. I want to imagine that someone you know, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your family, because if it was you that died, you wouldn't be able to remember what happened because you'd be dead. So I want you to assume it's, you know, a family member, someone that you would ultimately be the person responsible for if this other person died. I want you to think about what would you do after you found out they died. Of course, you got to deal with stuff that goes on at the hospital, with the funeral home, all that kind of stuff. But at some point, you need to figure out what are we doing with all of the assets and what would the assumption be on what would happen. You might think to yourself, well, hopefully they have a will and the will would take care of it. Well, that's the answer that most people have. And the real answer is, yeah, the will would take care of it if there was anything to actually look through to the will. Mark, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is that, let's say, for instance, you had an IRA or a life insurance policy. Maybe you have a 401k. Chances are, when you filled out that paperwork, and it might have been many, many years ago, you had to identify a beneficiary, someone who would receive your money if you were to die. Now, you didn't put in the beneficiary line, "See my will." That's not what you wrote in the beneficiary line. Chances are you wrote in your spouse. Maybe you were 19 years old and started working at Raytheon, and you said, "Well, I guess I'll name my mom for now." But whoever it is that's named as the beneficiary in there, that is the person who would inherit that money. Now, there's all sorts of ways in which they'd inherit the money, but they would be the identified person who would receive that money. Would the will override that? Let's say in your will, let's say for instance, here's an example. Let's say you named your first spouse as the beneficiary of your 401k plan. And then you get divorced, you remarry, and you meet with somebody who says, "Oh, have you done your estate planning?" And someone says, well, they said, no, not really. We don't have a will. And you rush to an attorney and have a will drafted naming your spouse, your current spouse, as the primary beneficiary of all of your assets in your will. So upon your death, who would get the 401k account? The answer is rather simple. If a beneficiary is named on the document, that supersedes the will. So I don't care how fresh and new your will is. You could have written it just yesterday. If the beneficiary designation is your first wife, that's who's getting the money. So you can see all sorts of complications that can arise from that. A lot of ill will, a lot of concerns. Now, not your problem. You're dead, right? You wouldn't know anything about that. But some people would not be thinking very favorably of you after you had left. And I think we all want to leave this earth having people with fond memories of us. But I'm kind of diverting a little bit away from the whole probate issue. The point I'm trying to make is that if you name a beneficiary on any document, it doesn't matter what it says in the will. The named people in the documents that list a beneficiary supersede it. So what that means is if you have a joint account with your spouse, let's say you have a joint bank account, and one of you were to die, do I need to look to the will to decide who's getting the money? No. We've already named the beneficiary. Let's say you've set up what's called a revocable trust, a nominee trust, a trust that allows you to have some say about how you want your assets to be managed and held by somebody that is a likeness of you, but not really you, which can be this trust. If you die, who gets the money? Well, you don't have to worry about the will because the trust says, if I die, the beneficiary is X, Y, or Z, or whatever the rules and provisions are. So then you might say to yourself, well, then how does probate fit into here? Where does probate all fit? Probate only surfaces itself when you have assets to which no beneficiary has been named on any documentation. Put it this way. If you need to look to your will for the answer of where the money's going to go, chances are you're going through probate. Because the only time that the will will, I shouldn't say only time, but the vast majority of the times that the will is going to come into play is if you had to go through probate. So let's say, for instance, you have a house. Let's say you are married. And your spouse passed away. Now the house is just in your name. And you now die. Have you named a beneficiary for your house? Have you named who's going to get your house? Well, there's nothing on the deed that says this is who's going to get the house. You might say, well, in my will, it says all of my remaining assets, real estate, etc., goes to my three children. Yeah, but how do you get someone to authorize that will? Well, first, it must go through probate. And what happens in the probate process? Well, let's say you died. So So someone's going to show up and say, well, I'm Johnny. I'm, you know, Mary's son, the oldest son. And in my hand here is a will that says I get my share of mom's house. And who are you going to bring that to? Just some ordinary attorney? You're just going to bring it to somebody on the street? Who are you bringing it to? Who's going to approve that? Who's going to change the deed of the house to you? Who's going to authorize that? Well, you got to go through the probate process. You have to go to the courts. And somebody needs to appoint what's called an executor of your parents' estate. And I bet in that will, before it says who's getting the money, it says who's going to be the executor. And the proper term now in this politically correct society we live in, we now can no longer use executor or executrix. The term now is personal representative. So someone is appointed the personal representative. And so you need to go to the courts to be appointed. If you're on that list, if you're named as personal representative, you need to be appointed as that person. And now it's your job to do an accounting of all of, let's say, mom's assets that were beyond beneficiary designations. So that might be the house. Maybe you'll find that mom had a checking account just in her name. Maybe there'll be a car. Maybe there'll be a few things here and there. And you got to create this accounting. Then you bring it back to the courts, and the courts then post this accounting on the bulletin board. And they share it in other places. They have to put it up as public record that says, so-and-so passed away. Their assets are being probated. If you lay any claims to these dollars, let's say, for instance, you were a painter that painted the house, but you felt like they never finished paying you for the job you were doing, you could lay claim against these assets. And so you can see how this process might slow up. Now, after a period of time, and like, look, I'm not an attorney, so the attorney can give you the specifics on the number of days, all that kind of stuff. I'm giving you generalities here. You get past that certain period of time. If no one has laid any claim, the judge then appoints the estate to you as the executor to follow the rules of the will to distribute the assets. Now, remember, there's costs and fees involved to go through that process. And that's what people try to avoid, as well as the length of time it can take before the money gets distributed. So I wanted to share an interesting story that happened. So we were with a client a couple of weeks ago. Actually, it might have been about a month ago. And one of the spouses had passed away. He was 92 years old. The mother is 89 years old. So she came into our office with her daughter. And the daughter is trying to help mom understand where everything is. And we had a pretty good sense of all of the assets because they had been a client of ours for a while. When we work with you, we already know your full net worth. We get to present it to you. You get to see it. Well, one of the items that was of concern was the condo that they owned in Lexington was owned jointly. Well, the husband had passed away. So now the condo in Lexington is now owned exclusively by her. And we said, you know, it would really behoove you, if you don't want to create some really sophisticated types of estate planning and all sorts of things, it would behoove you to put your condo into what's called a realty trust or some type of what's called a nominee trust, a trust where mom still remains the grantor. She's giving the money to the trust. She is the trustee of the trust. But she assigns a beneficiary to the trust so that when she dies, it's clear who's going to get it, the daughter and her two brothers as well, so the three kids. Because if you do that, it would avoid probate. If mom died, and mom's 89 years old, if she died and owned that house would likely have to go through probate. So they said, well, that's great. We're going to go back to our attorney and set up a realty trust. In fact, we hadn't even thought about or considered it because my attorney had never mentioned it to us. But I said, fine. I didn't know who the attorney was. Well, I get a call this week from the attorney. The attorney has been practicing law for about 40 years. And the attorney calls up and she says, you know, I met with your client, our mutual client, and they suggested that you said that they should put their home, which is owned individually in her name, into a trust to avoid probate, because that's one of the things that they wanted to do, was avoid probate at all costs. In fact, the husband who had passed away said, whatever we want to do, make sure you avoid probate. That was one of his wishes. And she said, I don't understand why you need to put this into a trust. She says, that's not going to avoid probate. And I thought, really? Of course it is. If you have a beneficiary named on the asset, it's going to avoid probate. She says, I've never heard of such a thing. I'm like, I've been doing this 28 years. I said, might I ask, what is your specialty in law? She says, well, mostly divorce, but I do a little bit of estate work. I said, well, I have tons of clients who name, who put real estate and individually owned assets in some type of a trust or what's called a transfer on death account so that there's a beneficiary name so that they can avoid probate. I'm not quite understanding. What am I missing? She says, well, the colleagues that I talked to said that you don't need to do that. And besides, what's the big deal about going through probate? And it occurred to me that this attorney, who my clients had been working with for years, was an extraordinarily close friend. She was an attorney who has been doing law kind of on a part-time basis for a long time and not very familiar with just basic estate planning issues. And I found it frustrating. She says to me, Mark, would you mind sending me a copy or two of some of the realty trusts that some of your clients have used? Just redact out the name so I can review them. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I'd really encourage you to take the responsibility. You're the lawyer. You're the one that's giving them the advice. I'm pointing them to you to draft the documents properly. And it's your, if you say it's going to, if putting it into a trust is not going to avoid probate, I don't necessarily agree with you, but I'd like you to justify why that can be done. And I just thought it was interesting. And the reason I bring up this story is oftentimes many of us rely on our friends or somebody who's an attorney. I got a lawyer. But oftentimes attorneys have a specialty in an area or two, and they're not necessarily a specialist in everything. In fact, none of them really are specialist in everything. I want you to be careful. I want you to make sure that when you're looking for estate planning guidance, when you're really setting up your stuff, because remember, when you're dead, you have no say about what happened anymore. You can believe anything you want, but when you're dead, we got to follow the rules. I want to make sure that you do it right. Find an attorney that specializes in what you need to do. And that, my friends, is financial advice in a language you can understand. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
When an overworked mother and headstrong teenage daughter magically switch bodies, everything gets freaky.
Oh, I wish you'd understand and see the world my way for just one day.
Disney's Freaky Friday is the brand new mixed up, switched up family musical that will have you seeing the world from a whole new perspective. From the Pulitzer Prize-winning songwriters of Next to Normal and the writer of TV's Parenthood and Friday Night Lights comes this hilarious new body swap musical.
I got this, soon you'll see.
Disney's Freaky Friday is live on stage at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater from July 9th through the 21st only. Your tickets today at nsmt.org.
Sponsored by Big Jim's Auto Body.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're enjoying this. Finally, there's some nice June weather. It's we have a break from some miserable weather that we've had over this past week. It's like not even fun to go to Fenway Park yet. Isn't that weird? I mean, my rule used to be that I wouldn't go to Fenway Park until June 1st, but should it really be until June 30th now? I mean, it's crazy. I'm hoping that we're getting all the cold weather out of the way and that the rest of our summer is going to be amazing. Perhaps it'll carry into November. Ooh, that would be nice. Carrying into November. We'll see what happens. You never know. Anyways, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right above Alto Forno on Cross Street and right across that giant dirt lot that is the North Shore Mall these days. If you haven't been over to the North Shore Mall, what a mess part of the parking lot is. They're doing their very best to accommodate you so you can get into the places where you need to get to. But what's coming, what you should be excited about, is what the result will be when it's all done. But for now, it's a little messy over there. A lot of dirt roads, a lot of dirt, because they are building up the foundational area over where Sears used to be and where they're going to put a new fitness facility. There's an entertainment complex that's going in. Restaurants are beginning to open up. I saw that the boards around Hop and Grind, this is an extension of the Tuckaway Tavern that is going to open up over at the North Shore Mall right towards the entrance to the food court. They're excited about that offering. The walls are up. The windows are up. You can start to peek in a little bit to see what's going on inside. I know there's a Mexican restaurant on the other side that's close to Legal Seafood. That is coming soon. By the way, Legal Seafood is open. I know they're kind of tucked away in a really tough spot right now. So if you've been thinking about going over to Legal's, patronize them, because I think they're struggling a little bit because of the way that the traffic pattern is working over at the mall. I think they're really seeing a fall off in business over there. So please go over and patronize Legal Seafood. And if you're at Legal's or if you're anywhere on that side of the mall, all you need to do is look up to the right or to the left, depending upon what side of the mall you're on or what side of the street you're on, and you will see Friedman Financial. Our sign, our name is now on the building at 41 Cross Street. It actually jumps out a little bit more now since Alto Forno, a great restaurant on the first floor, decided to change their color scheme a little bit on the exterior of the building. They've gone with a darker gray look with some nice lighting, but during the day, the top part of the building is all white, and my sign is black, so it jumps right out. If you wonder what Friedman Financial does, Friedman Financial is the financial planning and investment management solution and resource for individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area. Who are our clients? Let me tell you, our clients are generally folks that are over the age of 50. They're between the age of 50 and death. How's that? Well, they are. I mean, that's what we've been doing. My father started this business in 1967, 52 years we've been at this. So not only are we helping retirees prepare for retirement, live in retirement, but unfortunately, a big part of our business now is working with families as they address the issue of one of their spouses or a family member passing away, or living with the fact that you are now a widow or single or on your own and trying to live that life and understand what's been going on. Because one of the biggest challenges that we find with widowers is that in many cases, the person who passed away handled most of the finances. And if you're fortunate enough to have a child who can step up and help you, that's great. But oftentimes the child's influence on how you should address your money, how you spend your money, how you should be saving money, spending it, buying stuff for yourself, they're influenced a little bit different than the way you might be. And you have a lifestyle that you've grown accustomed to. And frankly, at your advanced age, or following the death of a spouse that you've been with for 30, 40, 50, 70 years, whatever it is, you don't want to change that. Well, part of what we do, and it's part of what we do at Friedman Financial, is we understand the emotions that you'll go through as a surviving widow, trying to address those issues. One of the biggest challenges we see is when the person that dies, who happens to be the primary financial decision maker, dies, and you're now left at 85, 90 years old, and you're still active, you're still able to get around, but you realize, oh, I need to buy a car. Ooh, that's a tough one. Do you want to walk into a car dealership alone? Do you want to walk in with your child? Do you want to walk in with somebody who could negotiate on your behalf? It's a little intimidating, isn't it? Or what happens when all of a sudden you realize your cell phone isn't working any longer? Or you have a cell phone contract that may be coming due and you don't know how to deal with those issues. Or you're thinking, geez, I'm in this house all by myself now. I don't want to live here anymore. It's just too much. I need to downsize. I need to move to a retirement community. I need to do something else. Who do you turn to for advice like that? Well, the clients that work with us, when we're understanding where everything is in their financial life and really giving them guidance about everything, we address those questions. We help you get some answers. We provide the guidance that you need so that you can make an informed decision for your lifestyle. But the other group that we deal with, that we spend a lot of our time with, are those that are either approaching retirement or in retirement. Oftentimes, those folks find themselves with a lot of decisions to make. They find that they've got accounts scattered all over the place. They wonder, do I have enough money to support my life in retirement and beyond? What will I do once my paycheck stops? Will I still be able to travel? What about medical costs? What if my kids need money? What if I'm still having to care for my aging parents? All of those issues are things that we discuss at Friedman Financial. Sure, we manage a lot of money for people. Yes, we do. I would tell you that the average household account size at my office right now is around $800,000. That's not one account. That's the collective accounts that we might manage for a household. Now, is everybody at that level or higher? No, I told you that's the average. Generally, in my office, the minimum to come work with us is $350,000. But I'll tell you the middle, if we look at the average, it's about $800,000. I don't have clients that have $20 and $30 and $50 million in net worth. That's a whole different type of relationship and solution. We've got to deal with people who are regular families who have established themselves here on the North Shore. They've been part of the community for decades. They've worked hard and they want to make sure that they maximize everything that they can so that they can enjoy retirement to its fullest. And one of the questions that I oftentimes get from listeners, and this one came this week from a person whose name, well, instead of giving me their name, they said their first name was Z, their last name was Z, and their email was z@z.com. You don't know them, do you? I got to believe that was all fake. Get this, but their phone number is 978-123-4567. So that was the person that sent the email. But that's okay. You know what? The name didn't matter to me because they asked some really good questions. So one of the questions that they ask is, Mark, could you address this on your Sunday broadcast? What should we consider in determining whether to take a retirement lump sum or an annuity pension? Can you give several examples and how to calculate these to help with our decision? Well, I'm not going to pull out my HP12C and start to talk about future value and present value and recurring cash flows and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to get into the details, but let me try to address this question because a lot of people ask it. Generally, you're faced with this decision of whether to take a pension and or a lump sum when you're working for a private institution that still offers that benefit. And very few people do these days. Some of the major companies offer it. If you're working in a municipality, for instance, you're no longer really offered a lump sum benefit. They give you the opportunity to take a pension and you have three different options. So let's start with the municipality first, because that will be the easy one when you have to make a decision on which pension option to take. Generally, if you're, let's say you're retiring out of the town of Danvers or the city of Peabody, when you reach retirement, you're going to get a piece of paper from the Mass Teachers Retirement Board as a teacher that's going to say option one is, let's say, $4,000 a month. And I'm just going to use that as a number. That option one will always be the largest offering of the three options. Now, why is that the largest offering? What option one says, you're doing it for what's called life only, which means that if you take this option, $4,000 a month, and you die 2 months later, that is all. There will be no more. We keep all the money. Now, remember, as a teacher, you're probably paying into the pension. You've been paying into the pension for years and years and years, 9 to 11%, something like that, that you've been paying in forever. So they've been accumulating money. Hopefully, they've been adding money. It's been growing. It's been managing all that kind of stuff. $4,000 a month. Option two is an option that's less than option A. So maybe it's instead of $4,000, maybe you'll get, I don't know, $3,800. I'm making up numbers here, so it could be totally different. But it's a little bit less. Maybe it's $3,800. But if you die in a year, your $3,800 is going to stop. But you have an account at the Mass Teachers Retirement Board, you get that statement that says, here's how much money you've contributed to the plan, that you've been putting into this plan. That amount of money that would be there would be the amount that you would be, that your beneficiary would be able to receive as a lump sum, that amount that's left. Very few people choose option two. Option three, yeah, because that lump sum amount, by the way, if you're wondering, well, why, that lump sum amount is really small. It's usually like somewhere between 50 and 100 grand. Might sound like a nice number, but it's really not that much money in the whole scheme of things. Option C, instead of getting $4,000 a month, maybe they'll offer you $3,100 a month. And you say, well, $3,100 is a lot less than $4,000. Huh, what should I do? Well, if you take option C provides a survivor benefit to your spouse. And it might say, well, if you take option C at $3,100 and you die, your spouse will continue to get two-thirds of that amount. Let's call it $2,000. So you might say, that's not such a bad idea. And the benefit of option C also, what if your spouse dies first? Well, guess what? Your $3,100 jumps up to option A, which was that $4,000 a month, because when you're dead, it's all over anyways. So option C becomes a very interesting option. So why do people pick different options? A lot of it has to do with your life, your personal belief in life expectancy, whether you're married, because you won't have a spousal option if you're not. It can be a lot of different reasons. And one of the things, if you're really healthy, one person, or some people might think, well, wait a second, what if I took option A, knowing that I'm giving up $900 a month for option C? If I took $4,000 and instead of taking option C, which was $3,100, that's $900. What if for $900 a month or less, I could buy a life insurance policy that would provide my spouse an income stream of somewhere around $3,100 to $2,000 if I died? Well, that might work. But that's all dependent upon your health. So you got to look at different options. So then becomes the question. So remember, when you're doing that through the state, through the municipality, that pension is guaranteed to you. It's not really going to increase much. It's going to remain relatively level. But then let's move to a private institution. Let's say you're now offered either, and this is can happen. Let's say someone's offering you $4,000 a month or $1 million. That's a real number, by the way. That's generally what it is. $4,000 a month as a pension equates to around $1 million in a lump sum. Which would you prefer? $48,000 a year or $1 million? Now, when you get the $1 million as a lump sum, it would roll over to an IRA, so you wouldn't pay any tax on it. But when you start taking money out, what you take out would be subject to tax. Of course, the $4,000 a month from the annuity payout would also be taxed from the pension or annuity. Pension is essentially an annuity, folks. What do you decide? Well, I want you to think out 10 years from now. What's the likelihood that the cost of gas, milk, an automobile, a house, movie tickets, and an iPad will still be about the same? Chances are they're going up. Will your $4,000 annuity payment or pension payment be going up with it? Nope, it will not. If you had money in a lump sum and you were taking out $4,000 a month from your lump sum, you'd be taking out roughly 4.8% of the value, right? That's $48,000, 4.8%. Would you have the ability to increase your monthly amount if you took out money from your lump sum? Sure you could. But what's the guarantee that it would still be worth $1 million? No guarantee there either. So you got to play that game. Look, if your only asset that you have in retirement is the decision to take a lump sum or a pension, and you have no other control, no other resources to rely upon, that pension option looks really, really attractive because many people want guaranteed income for the rest of their life. If you know what that guaranteed income will be, you can say, you know what? I'll cut back on a few things. I might downsize where I live. I can change my lifestyle as I get a little bit older. And you know what? Even worst case, if I need to go into a medical facility, they can't have access to anything more than the $4,000 a month I get from my pension. If you have a lump sum, if you have money in that IRA, they could potentially have access to that, right? A lot of different ways to look at that. But you may want to spend more, and you are likely to live in retirement for as long as you've worked. So I want you to think about how much everything cost when you started working to compare it to what it's worth today. Big difference. There is no easy answer. There is no mathematical calculation that really gives you the solution. The answer to your question of whether to take a lump sum or whether to take a pension option is to sit down and look at everything. Try to factor in what else is involved, knowing all of the various players that are part of your situation. And you do that by visiting an office like ours at Friedman Financial. If you'd like to learn more about that, you can give our office a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or if you'd like to just learn a little bit more financial advice in a language you can understand, stay tuned because we'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Set yourself apart from the ordinary at Gibley's Menswear, offering the world's most sought-after designers at New England's most sought-after values. I'm Alan Gibley, inviting you to experience the area's premier collection of spring men's sportswear at our North Shore location in Danvers and now our newly acquired Zara by Gibley's in Boston. Shop Canali, Peter Millar, Tommy Bahama, many European designers, as well as the latest trends in men's jean fashion featuring Hudson and Citizens. Find us online at Ghibli's.com. Come in once, you'll be a customer for life.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I am here in studio in the treetop towers of North Shore 104.9, overlooking the North Beverly train station, Calico Corner, Studio 13, and all of the other wonderful retail operations right here on Enon Street. If you haven't been down this way, it's really no different than what it was a few months ago. Same old stuff. But come by anyways if you'd like. Aviva Cucina is down the end of the street. They're, a newer restaurant. They've probably been here 3 or 4 years now. But they're doing all right, and we're not too far from the North Shore Music Theater, just around the corner from there. And if you haven't been over to the theater yet, well, you missed Oklahoma. But get ready, because Freaky Friday is coming. Freaky Friday coming to the North Shore Music Theater. Get your tickets. If you remember, I think it was Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan that were in the movie for that. And this is a Disney adaptation of that movie, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. They've turned it into a musical, so that should be kind of fun. It's a great show to bring the family to, bring the kids to. I'm sure it will be a lot of fun. The North Shore Music Theater, always delivering great entertainment all summer long, all fall long, and of course concluding with the fabulous performance with David Coffey of A Christmas Carol. I happened to actually, I think I told you this last week, I told you I was going down to Rhode Island to check out Theater by the Sea, which is Bill Haney's other theater. Actually, he now has a third. I think he just took over the Performing Arts Center in Burlington, in Barnstable down on the Cape. But I went to Theater by the Sea last Saturday. It was really cool. Now, if you think Theater by the Sea is just like North Shore Music Theater, oh man, are you wrong. You are very, very, very wrong. I think it seats 350 people in that theater. If you've actually been to the Firehouse Theater, or the, I think it's called the Firehouse Theater, up in Newburyport, the fire station, whatever it is. If you've been to that theater, that's kind of like what it's like. It's a little bit bigger than the Firehouse Theater, but it has that same kind of intimate feel to it. It's exposed wood on the inside. The rafters are all there. Regular traditional proscenium theater. I got to see Love and Other Fables, which was the world premiere of that show. It was actually quite funny, really interesting. Had a good time. We brought all the kids to it. My wife absolutely loved the show. She thought it was hilarious. I was okay with it. I thought it was okay, entertaining. I don't know what I was expecting. It was okay. But, you know, everybody has a different opinion. I don't know what you thought about Oklahoma or at the North Shore Music Theater. Some people loved it. Some people really loved it. So, you know, that's, everyone's got an opinion on a show. But it was, my God, what a beautifully landscaped area, though. The grounds there are absolutely beautiful. If you're ever looking for a place to host a wedding or a retreat or some kind of an outing, the grounds there are absolutely magnificent. Quite the place. Actually, I think the music theater does a really nice job with their grounds, and the floraling, the floral landscaping that they do up there is absolutely magnificent. Anyways, I'm here actually to talk about money, financial advice in a language you can understand, but I do get excited with the theater and all the things that go on here on the North Shore. I'm a lifelong resident of the North Shore. We've seen a lot of changes, a lot of things happening here. I happen to be at 41 Cross Street, which is just above Alto Forno Restaurant. That's where Friedman Financial is located. We're right across the street from the North Shore Mall. Certainly plenty of changes going on over there. And I think one of these days, Mark Whiting is going to sit in this chair right next to me and tell us the story about what's happening. I see him at the mall. He tells me, you got to get me on your show. And I send him emails. All right, Mark, let's get on the show. And then I don't hear from him again. So he's really busy, pulled in 1,000 different directions with all the stuff that goes on. But I will get him here on this show. I know I will. Anyways, wanted to talk to you about another question that I got from a listener of this show. And by the way, if you want to drop me a question, if you want to send me a question for me to address on the show, or you can just drop me a question and I'll call you and give you some answers to my thoughts, what you need to do is either one of two things. Call the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website. You'll be able to put in your name, your email address, and any type of a comment you want. You want to ask me questions? You want me to give you a call back? I promise you, by the way, when you do this, you will be signed up for a newsletter. Perhaps you already are. But if you'd like to, you'll be a part of the 7,500 people that get a free weekly newsletter called Planning Pointers. Comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning, right into your inbox. We've been doing it for over 11 years now. Hard to believe that's been going on. I do not call you because you signed up for the newsletter. I will not do that. But if you say in the note, hey, would you give me a call? Many people leave a message and they say, hey, I'd like to schedule a free initial consultation in your office. Can you give me a call? Of course, I'll do that. Or if you have a question about anything and everything and you want me to give you a call, yeah, I'll call you. We are not this big institution where it has to go through a series of compliance channels and all that kind of stuff before I can actually pick up the phone and start dialing your phone number or responding to your email. You get me. That's it. I mean, granted, we have an office of about 6 people. Marion Gilman, my other business partner, who's been here in studio with us as well, she may answer your question as well. But besides that, you'll hear from Marion or I, or perhaps Jody, if you just wanted to schedule an appointment. She'll make that arrangement for you. Anyways, this last question that I got is one that pops up periodically. It says, Mark, can you offer a review of the mass estate tax and what can be done to minimize the tax on families inheriting an estate? So here's the deal. It's really not that complicated. First of all, what you need to understand is what constitutes an estate. That's the first thing. Just because you have assets, and earlier in the show we talked about avoiding probate, just because you might have assets that would avoid probate, they don't avoid your estate. So let's say you have a $500,000 401k plan, you have a $250,000 IRA, and you have a house that's worth $250,000, just using those as numbers. The IRA and the 401k, that avoids probate right away because you've named a beneficiary. The house, if maybe you're married and you own it jointly, that's going to avoid probate as well. But you would still have an estate worth $1 million, $500,000 for the 401k, $250,000 for the IRA, and $250,000 for the house. At $1 million, would you need to pay any type of estate tax? Well, let's first look at it from the federal perspective, not Massachusetts, from the federal perspective. If your estate is under $11,500,000, you do not owe any federal estate tax. And my friends, congratulations if you have an estate that's over $11,500,000. Congratulations to you. Yeah, you'll owe some federal taxes. And by the way, that's not for the two of you. That's just for one of you. So each person, you and your spouse, could each die with $11,500,000 before having to pay any federal estate taxes. So mazel tov, you've done very well for yourself. But here in the state of Massachusetts, unlike many other states whose state estate tax mirrors that of the federal estate tax exemption, in Massachusetts, that limit is $1 million. So if you die with in your name, in your estate, if it is over $1 million, you may very well likely be subject to pay an estate tax to the state of Massachusetts on assets in excess of $1 million. So the secret, if there's any secret, yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of crazy sophisticated estate planning stuff. First, you have to figure out, do my spouse and I have an estate greater than $2 million? Because if it's under that, maybe there's a way for you to divvy up the ownership of your assets so that each of you have under $1 million in your name. Sometimes you can do that, sometimes you can't. But the other thing you can do is, if you're an individual person, if you can get your assets under that $1 million threshold, you'll avoid the estate tax, the state estate tax. You're already avoiding federal taxes. That's really about it. It's really not that much more complicated. It is what it is, as Bill Belichick would always say. You know, you can come up with these crafty strategies. Well, we can hide this here and we can do this. I'm not a big fan of anything. In fact, some of it's illegal, so I certainly wouldn't endorse it. Now, can you gift money? Some people say, well, what if I have an estate that's $1,100,000? Okay, you're still allowed to give away money and you're allowed to give, remember, this year, $15,000. It's not $10,000. Many people are still stuck in that $10,000 world. You can give $15,000 to anybody you want. So let's say you have an estate of $1,000,001 and you have 10 grandchildren. You could give away $150,000 just like that, and now your estate's under $1 million. That easy. You can give them stock. You can give them cash. You can just give it. Write them the check. It's theirs. No reporting. No nothing. You can just do it. Sure, there's other ways. If you want to try to get under that $1 million threshold, you can spend some money too. You can do that. All sorts of ways to do it. But folks, it's really not all that complicated. And mazel tov to you, by the way, if you have a net worth in excess of $11,500,000 per person. Well, apparently you've done okay for yourself, and I wish you all the best. I hope you're generous with your money. I hope you enjoy your money. I hope you spend it wisely. And I hope you follow the advice that we give, no matter your financial status, that you take our advice and offer financial advice in a language anybody can understand. That's going to do it for us today. We will be back again next Sunday with more Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial right here on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor
sponsor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.